You know, God has been moving in our services, been moving in us, and I can't speak for you, but from what I'm able to tell, the change that is happening, it's slow, but it's becoming noticeable. And that has to do, I truly believe, that part of what has helped usher this in, if you will, is the fact that we've been spending those 30 minutes on Sunday night in prayer as a congregation. Part of the problem we have with anything related to a move of God is that we can't see what's going on behind the curtain of, you know, the realm of the Spirit. Because things are happening. And after the fact, we begin to see results taking place. I don't know exactly what the future holds. I don't know what kind of changes are going to take place in what we do here. But I want what God wants. That may require some real adjustments on our part regarding everything that we do. It may have, I don't know what it means. I just don't know what it means. But I do know this, we cannot allow ourselves to be so tied in to everything that we've done and the way we've done it that we resist change. You know, we have to be willing to alter what we do. And, you know, in some cases, it could be something that we think, well, how come we're doing this now? Or how come we're not doing that anymore? We just have to trust God. And we have to keep pressing into Him. Whatever that means, I'm all for it, because we've got to see Him move. And it's not that He doesn't want to. You know, He's waiting on us to do our part. Like we know this. We've heard this. We know this. And this tonight, what we're going to take a look at in Scripture, it fits right into this. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 4, we'll start there. Proverbs chapter 4. I so appreciate the Word of God, and I appreciate it more and more than what I used to. And I know that part of the reason for that is the reading that I've done, but then also praying in the Spirit, that helps to facilitate, call it a hunger, an appreciation, an understanding, whatever, of God's Word. The Bible is our only source of spiritual sustenance. I mean, we can pray in the Spirit, we can worship, you know, fast, we can do all those things. But the Word of God, that feeds our spirit, and we need it. I'll tell you this right now, the more you get into the Word, if you kind of slack off, you're going to start feeling kind of funny on the inside. It's because your spirit's saying, hey, fast the flesh, not me. Let's go, get back in the Word. But here in Proverbs chapter 4, just pick it up in, well, let's say, man, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now what's interesting in this, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So essentially what we see represented here in verse 20 and 21, hearing and reading and meditating. Keep them in your heart. Well, why should I do that? Verse 22, they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. This is another good reason to get into the Word, because God's Word carries with it healing properties. I mean, it says right there, health to all their flesh. If you're battling a whatever in your body, one of the absolute best things you can do is read the Bible. Somebody might say, well, what book? Well, you have a choice of 66. You can read the begats, you know, so-and-so begats, so-and-so begats. Or you can read the 20 cubits by 10 cubits by 15, overlaid with gold. And you can read any of it. His words, the Bible. Life to those who find them, health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So verses 20, 21, and 22 are talking about how to keep your heart, if you will, because out of it are the issues of life. What did Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of your heart, coupled with the working of your mouth, are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Well, what would be a froward mouth and perverse lips? The opposite of verses 20, 21, 22, and 23. The opposite. So 24, don't look at verse 24 as simply being a bunch of, you know, foul language, cuss words, and whatever. It's whatever is in opposition to 20, 21, 22, and 23. You understand what I'm saying? I know you do. Then in verse 25, he says, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. All right, well, what would be the evil that I'm supposed to remove my foot from? It would be turning to the right hand or turning to the left. See, sometimes when we look at this word evil, we can begin to define it as, you know, drinking and doing drugs and committing adultery and things like that. But try to look at this from God's perspective. Evil would be anything that is contradictory to His Word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Okay, that means when he says, remove thy foot from evil, he's saying, if you've turned to the right or if you've turned to the left, you get your foot back on the path that you're supposed to be walking, looking straight ahead. That's what this is describing. Now, with this in mind, well, let me give you an illustration. Think about this. Have you ever seen people walking and fooling around with their phone at the same time? And they kind of like stagger, walk into things. They walk off curbs. You ever seen videos of people doing that? They walk into a wall. You know, just, I mean, and you think, how dumb. Well, likewise, when you're driving, what do you have to do? You have to keep your eyes on the road. If you notice, if you're driving and you start looking to the left, you tend to start drifting to the left. Or if you look to the right, you start drifting to the right. You ever done that? And then all of a sudden, oh, and you got to, you know, jerk the wheel back and try not to overcompensate. Well, this is what he's talking about. Stay focused. Stay completely focused. Now look over in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be perfect or mature spiritually, grow up in the Lord, be thus minded, and if anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Okay, now, if you look here in verse 13 where he says, forgetting those things which are behind, when you're driving, you cannot keep your eyes on the rearview mirror. Okay, the rearview mirror is there for a quick glance, not to stare at. Because you stare at it, you're going to be all over the road. And then when he says, you know, reaching forth unto those things which are before, that's, you know, staying focused again, pressing toward the mark, staying focused again. But then in verse 15, he says, what you've done spiritually to get to this point, then you keep doing it. Keep doing what you've done to get to this point. And he says, if you be otherwise minded, God will reveal even this unto you. What this means is, in part, if you're not focused the way you should be, God's going to start dealing with you. He'll reveal to you, okay, you need to, you know, dismiss this. All right, this is interfering too much with your focus on me. It's getting you turning to the left, turning to the right, you know. Okay, and he'll show you. Why will he do that? Because he doesn't want you to stray away. He will reveal it to you. And if you ask him to reveal it to you, he will. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 17. I'll tell you what, let's back up to Hebrews 12. Or no, go forward to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. Here in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Jesus. So, we see back over there in Proverbs, you know, don't turn to the left or the right. Stay focused. Straight ahead. Paul says, I'm pressing toward the mark. How do we do that? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author and the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The entrance of thy word giveth light. My son, attend to my word. Hear my word. Keep your eyes on my word. See this? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, this being true, we basically can have two kinds of hope. We can have false hope, and we can have substance hope. All right, well, what is false hope? False hope is, one way to put it is this. False hope is telling somebody something and telling them it's true, yet it cannot be supported by Scripture. And I'll give you some examples here in a little bit. Substance hope is something that has been established in Scripture. There's a difference. False hope, that which is not established by Scripture. Substance hope, that which has been established by Scripture. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So therefore, if you're hoping for something, but Scripture doesn't support it, then there's nothing, there is no substance to bring it to pass. Now, some people might be thinking, well, okay, why would I hope for something that doesn't line up with the Word of God? Well, let's take a look here. Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now, you don't have to turn back to this. You can, you know, look it up later on. But in Titus chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in Hebrews chapter 6, it tells us God cannot lie, that it is impossible for God to lie. And Hebrews 13, verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie, and Jesus Christ is the same forever. That means he can't lie. Now in John chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now look over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And take a look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Very simple. I mean, it's pretty clear. Now look in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, these three passages that we just read, that they represent substance hope because it's established by Scripture. Jesus says, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. Jesus says, well, Scripture says that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth for salvation, faith in Jesus, that you'll be saved. And Scripture says, for believers, if you confess your sins, well, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There it is. This right here is substance hope. What is false hope? I've done too many bad things for God to ever save me. And you may think, well, that's not hope. Yeah, it is. That's false hope. And what you don't realize is that you are confessing rejection from God. You're declaring it's not the kind of hope that you want, but it's a false hope. Because the moment you start saying, I've done too much, I've done too many bad things, God could never forgive me, oh, I've gone too far, he'll never take me back. The moment you say that, that's opposite. That's a froward mouth. And you're declaring something God cannot bring to pass. You're the one that is establishing that as a false hope in your life. And it's the kind of hope you don't want. But yet, that's what you're establishing. I've done too much. How many of us, looking back over our lives, have ever said something like that? You say, well, not me. I've never done that. Okay, well, let me ask you this. How many times have you repented for the same thing over and over and over? Do you realize what you're saying? That I really wasn't forgiven the last 35 times I repented. Well, did you mean it back then? Well, I thought I did, but now I really mean it. But isn't that what you said last time? Well, yeah, but this time I really, really mean it. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have a genuine substance hope in us that this is true. That he has forgiven and cleansed us. Because if we truly had substance hope, then we would live our lives knowing that we've been forgiven. And when we mess up, we confess, he forgives, he cleanses, and we go on with it. And if the thoughts try to climb back in, well, don't you remember last? Don't you remember? You cast it down. Say, no, wait a second. No. My hope is full of substance because of God's Word. And I have the hope of living the rest of my life and never being condemned by Him for what I did. Because I confessed, He forgave, He cleansed. So that's over. I'm not going to dwell on that anymore. Look over in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Take a look at another example of this. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will add him to my prayer list. And Jesus saith unto him, we will call the prayer hotline. And Jesus saith unto him, are you a tither? And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. There's confidence. Now, just a little side note, that's where we're headed. See, and we have to come to the place of accepting this as being, this is where we're headed individually. This is where we're headed. With this kind of confidence, that is the kind of substance hope we need developed in us. I will come and heal him. Religion says, well, who do you think you are? Like, well, who the Bible says I am. That's who I think I am. That's who I know I am. That's who I believe I am. That is my substance hope. So Jesus says, I will come and heal him. Now look in Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he, Jesus, was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Immediately, if you will, Jesus says, I will. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now look over in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Speaking of Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we were healed. Okay, these three examples that we've read in Scripture, this is substance hope. This is substance hope. Versus the false hope of, well, God doesn't heal anymore. Well, or God won't heal. I've just done too many bad things. God won't heal me. Or preaching a doctrine of affliction to yourself with your confession. Because when you start talking about, oh, every day, such and such, that is false hope. Because what you're doing is contradicting the Word of God. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, get the Word in, into your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. Well, I'll tell you what, every year about this time, I get the willy-nillies. It's that stuff in the air. Every year, some people, I've heard this before. I've heard some people talk about how that every year around Christmas, I get sick. The flu or whatever. And we're talking Christians, okay? That is false hope. There's no healing in that. And yet, we just read, I will come and heal. And if Jesus hasn't changed, then guess what? The I will heal is still alive today. It's still alive. That is our substance hope. But if you continue to preach the false hope doctrine of affliction to yourself, you're delivering false hope. And then you can't figure out how come healing isn't manifesting. Think about this. You're doing it to yourself. See, what makes this such a challenge is the fact that we have generally been surrounded by Christians who have a superior level of false hope, but they know what to say when they're in church. And that stuff gets sown into us so much. That's why the more you get into the Word of God, the more sensitive you're going to be to the preachers of false hope. When I say preachers of false hope, I'm not simply talking to people behind the pulpit. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Substance hope believes that healing is for today and that Jesus is still saying, I will. And that Jesus is still saying, by my stripes you were. That is substance hope. Let's look at another one. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and take a look at verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And then over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That is substance hope. That is substance hope. One of the reasons that a lot of Christians struggle in life, and I'm not talking struggle with sin, I mean, that would be included in it, but it's a lack of substance hope concerning the truth that they are righteous and holy. The false hope is, well, there's none righteous, no, not one. And I heard that a lot growing up. None righteous, no, not one. Then I started reading the Bible and I come to find out, wait a second, if I'm born again, I'm righteous. How dare you say you're righteous? Well, hey, now you're talking about God, because he's the one that said it. I'm just coming into agreement with him no matter what I feel. False hope. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm not righteous enough. I don't think God could use me. Are you born again? Yes. You're holy, you're righteous, you're usable. That's just the way it is. But you've got too many Christians. Sometimes I think they just use these things as excuses to fool themselves. And they think they're fooling, well, they are fooling other people, but to avoid commitment and responsibility unto the Lord. Well, I'm just too this. I can't be. God isn't. I'm not. Whatever. You're righteous, you're holy, you're qualified. Now, he will equip you spiritually. But to say that you're not righteous and you're not holy, that contradicts what's in the Word of God. And as long as you believe that, you're going to struggle in your day-to-day life trusting God, because you don't know who you are in Christ. Substance hope says, I feel just all kinds of yucky this morning, but I'm holy. I'm not in a good mood, but I'm righteous. When you stay focused on, when this truth becomes deeply rooted in our comprehension, we lead a far more balanced life. Let's look at another one. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Those three verses are substance, hope. They're tangible. Spiritually, they're tangible. They're substance, hope. The false hope, we're never going to get out of debt. You know, we get a little bit ahead and then something happens and boom, there we are again. We're just never going to get out of debt. You know, we barely make ends meet. We're just living paycheck to paycheck. We'll never have enough for a better car, better house. You know, for me, I'm at a place right now in the Lord. When I get around Christians who talk like that, I don't want to be around them. I don't want to hear it, because they're contradicting. They're preaching false hope, when I already know the substance hope. And I'm understanding the substance hope more and more and more. So why in the world would I want to let somebody who should know better declare false hope verbally contradict substance hope with their perception of what they think is God's reality for their life. See, that doesn't make any sense. Substance hope says, I may not have it in my pocket right now, but I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. Look, if you're struggling financially, you know what? Okay, boy, there's just so much. When you have this, we're never going to get out of debt. If you do not grab a hold of this substance faith and it become the driving force in your life relative to the increase, I'm telling you right now that it's going to impact every aspect of your life concerning what you believe you can and cannot buy. And we're not talking extravagance here, okay? It will also impact your job search. Because if you don't believe that you're worth anything, you will never consider a job, trying to get a job that will pay you what you're worth. You better let that one sink in. If God is going to supply, he's going to supply. That means this person over here could hire me, even though I don't feel skilled enough for this job. Still, they can hire you. But you've got to come to the place to where substance hope is what you're living by. If not, this is what you got to focus on this. You've got to deal with this. Look over in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Look at another one here. Jesus said, John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In fact, in the very first verse of this chapter, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. If anybody had a reason to have a lack of peace in their life, it was Jesus. Just read the four Gospels and see what he went through. And he says, peace I leave with you, my peace. If you look over in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Peace I leave with you, and God's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Okay, this is substance hope. No matter what is going on in your life, this right here is substance hope. Worry, stress, fear regarding money, family issues, sickness, and liberals. Come on. Listen, I've seen enough stuff on the internet by Christians. They are letting the liberals and their agenda get to them, and it's impacting the way they think. They are losing their focus on God and trying to and declaring how bad it is. Okay. Listen up. I know this doesn't apply to anybody here, but those of you watching, do you understand liberals are called liberal for a reason? That is their mindset. They're going to think that way. They're going to live that way. They're going to talk that way. They are going to criticize everybody who is not liberal. It doesn't matter who they are. They will criticize pastors. They will criticize politicians. They will criticize anyone until you become liberal like them. Then you become their friend. They are liberals. That's the mindset. Why should you be shocked when they express who they are? But when people let it, when Christians let it get to them, they stop expressing who they are and start criticizing what these other folks are when they should already know that's what they are. Sinners are sinners. Compromisers are compromisers. On and on it goes. Peace I leave with you. If you're walking in that substance hope, then you are not going to get riled up, fired up, and ready to punch somebody's nose out the back of their head when you read this stuff. You're not going to get all stressed out, worried, and the kids aren't doing this, and, oh, what are we going to do? Oh, I'm afraid they'll never come back. I'm afraid. What? Don't get around me talking like that, because I don't want that poison being spewed in my direction. That's false hope. What do you want? Well, if you're walking into substance of, in verse 7 here, the substance of your spirit, then you will be walking in peace. Because, go back to, you don't have to turn to this, Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the spirit, that's substance hope, see. Look over in, look in Jeremiah 29. We're coming back here to the New Testament. But look in Jeremiah 29. In verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amazing. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Verse 5. No, wait a minute. Tell you what, for the sake of time, just go to James. James chapter 1. Verse 13. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Substance hope realizes that God has your best interest at heart. Substance hope realizes that when God is thinking about you, He's thinking good things about you. False hope says, "I don't know why God did this. I don't know why God is letting this happen." Well, since He's given us dominion here on earth, you need to understand a lot of the things that you're going through, okay? It may be your fault, but along with that, God is not going to force everybody on planet Earth to be nice to you. He's not going to violate their will just because you're special. I mean, you are special, all right? So you have to understand, He's not going to violate, but when we start saying, "Well, I don't know why God did this. Oh, I just don't know why God allowed this. Well, He must be teaching me a lesson. Where's God when you need Him?" We've probably all been there to some extent. Well, see, that's false hope. Substance hope realizes this is the situation and understands, okay, God is not thinking thoughts of evil toward me. So that means He's not the one behind the bad stuff that's happening. He's not. Now, a really good example of this is when God, the Apostle Paul, Damascus Road and so forth, and then God was talking to Ananias, go pray for Paul, he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and be healed, he'd get his vision back and all that. And I want to let him know what kind of things he'll suffer for my name's sake. And somebody might say, "Well, why would God want him to suffer?" No. God was giving him a warning ahead of time. God was letting him know, "Look, if you choose to serve me, then you need to know people are going to do you wrong." Now, Saul hears this and he thinks, "Okay, let me get this straight. The way that I have been so wrong to so many of your children, washed in the blood of your son Jesus, and you're not going to strike me dead? Okay, I can handle what people do to me." because your grace is sufficient. See this? Substance hope realizes God's not the one that makes bad things happen to me. I live in a Genesis 3 world with a bunch of Genesis 3 people who live like it and excel at it and work hard to get better at it. But that's not God. He's not the one behind this. God's not the one doing it to you. Well, see, all of this, there's so much more of this we could look at as an example, as examples. But the whole thing about the substance hope, until we get into that place of living by the substance hope, we're not going to be as effective when it comes to revival, because if we're not living with substance hope, how in the world can we minister that hope to other people? You know, we can't just be like a recorder and hit rewind and play, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. And in the back of our mind, we're thinking, why, God, did you do this? No, it has to become our life, our substance hope. Declaring false hope is the same thing as being a false prophet. And you can be your own false prophet. Because when you begin to declare false hope, you are false prophesying to yourself. Is that what you want? No. No. Substance hope is the only hope that we have when it comes to living for God. Look over in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And look what the Apostle Paul says to these Ephesian leaders. Verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Another way to say that, I commend you to God and his word, which is able to establish in you substance hope for everything he's promised. The word. The word is the source of our substance hope. Look over in Matthew chapter 7. And we'll close with this passage here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Word of God is our source for substance hope. And Jesus says, if you hear and then do, you'll be building upon a firm foundation, or foundation that has substance. Now, the only way that you're going to do this is if you believe what you hear and then act on it. That's it. That's the only way. Oh, I know that God, you know, he has given us a spirit of fear, and I know, you know, the peace. I know all that. I know, but you just don't understand. You know, I'm just so concerned. I'm just so worried about, okay, you know what? You've heard, but you're not accepting. You know what it says, but you don't believe it. But then this, everyone that hears and does them not, you know, you're going to be like a foolish man. You're building a house upon that which has no substance, has nothing that can establish genuine hope in your life. And why is that? Because I hear it, but I don't believe it. In fact, I think I can use other building material to establish my life. What's that other building material? Well, what we would call it tonight, false hope. Every time you start talking, well, all these things that we covered tonight, oh, I've done too much, he can't forgive me, oh, he'll never take me back, and oh, I don't know why he hasn't healed me, and I mean, all these things, what you're doing, you're using sand to try to establish your life, and there's no hope. There's absolutely nothing to support any of that. The more we get into the Word, even if we say, God, right now I'll tell you this, you know, the way my body's been feeling lately, the whole thing of by Jesus' stripes I was healed, I got to tell you, God, I'm mentally battling with believing that, but yet that's what it says. So therefore, in spite of all of my discomfort, I say by Jesus' stripes, my whatever was healed. God, you know the pain that I'm going through. Trust me, He knows the pain you're going through. But God, I'll tell you what, I need substance hope, and so therefore, Jesus said, I will then. He's still saying, I will. So therefore, I'm gonna go with your word, regardless of what I'm feeling. I've struggled so long financially, Father, but you said you supply. Now, I know what the checkbook looks like, and I know the collection calls we've been getting and so forth, but God, I'm gonna get into your word, and I'm gonna feed on your word, and I'm gonna build substance hope in my life. And the day is coming, I'm gonna be out of debt. I'll be out of debt. I'm not gonna be like this. I will not continue to live this way. I will establish substance hope in my life. Building on substance hope is our only hope. And it's only done. See, you have no substance hope unless it comes from the Word. This message tonight, we could call it the appetizer. But the main course comes when you begin to get into the Word and get that substance hope developed on the inside. This is so very critical, so very important, because I know from my own experience with me and being around other Christians, there's far too much false hope that we think is substance hope. And we've got to get that switched around. We've got to, just like he said there in Proverbs chapter 4, hear it, read it, keep it in your heart, and you will be established. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A substance hope church. Glory to God.